The views expressed on this broadcast of the Take 12 Recovery Radio Show do not necessarily reflect those of KHLT Recovery Broadcasting or its affiliates. KHLT and Take12Radio.com are not affiliated with any particular 12-step fellowship.
Remember me, I'm the one down on the floor. Telling these people that I ain't there no more. Calling on the street, just about to lose my mind.
Welcome to Walking Through the Big Book with Chris Schroeder and Monty Meyer. And now, here's those two guys who investigate prior to contempt, Chris and the Monty Man.
Well, welcome! Welcome, 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 and I hope we investigate prior to contempt. It would be a switch, wouldn't it? Yes, indeedy. Welcome to Walking Through the Big Book. I am your co-host, the Monty Man, sitting here in this wonderful studio in beautiful downtown Albany, Oregon. And, of course, Chris Schroeder is on the line from the East Coast. Chris, welcome to show number two.
Monty, how are you doing today?
I'm doing awesome. The weather's great. The birds are chirping on key. The wind's blowing in the direction it's supposed to, and I don't have to try to correct the universe like I did yesterday.
That's good news.
So, for those of you folks who didn't listen to the first show last Sunday, what we're doing is we're going through the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous page by page, really sentence by sentence, word by word. And Chris is taking us through that. It's a fantastic journey. Just so you know, you can access the first show anytime you want to. Just click on the post button, P-O-S-T-S button, on the webcast box there if you're at take12radio.com. And you've clicked on Sunday's Walking Through the Big Book link, and it'll bring up the archives of the shows, and you can do that anytime, listen to the show over and over again and that kind of thing. So there that is there. So, Chris, what are we doing today?
Well, you know, Monty, it's really no great secret that addictive illness, alcoholism, drug dependence is quite probably the number one health threat in the country today. Now, the book Alcoholics Anonymous, since it was printed in 1939, has proven to be about the most successful tool available to fight addictive illness. There's been many, many 12-step groups that have sprung up using the concepts that were first laid out in the book Alcoholics Anonymous. So really, I think that an exploration of this book is a very, very valid venture, and I'm very, very excited to be doing it with you. You also know a whole lot about this book. So last week we got through basically the forward to the first edition. We're on the forward to the second edition this week. What were your impressions of last week's show, Monty?
I really had a great time. I sat down with one of my sponsees and a couple other people, and we listened to it. And you know, when you record a show, and when you listen to a show, it's two different things. And I just really enjoyed it. I'm partial to it anyway. But the comments I got from the few that were here listening to it were, wow, I didn't know that, and I've been reading the Big Book for a very long time. Here's one of the things that I heard that I really thought was a hoot. My sponsee said, "I've never read or heard the preface and the foreword like I did today." He said that you made it come alive for him, and I think that is what's so awesome about the way you present the Big Book to us. And I think that was probably the one statement that was made to me that really got me excited. Because if this thing can't come alive for us, then it's just head knowledge.
And you and I both know that head knowledge is not going to get it. If you could overcome addictive illness with an education in it,
yeah,
then you would go to class to learn how to overcome it, and you would be fine. And the fact of the matter is addiction recovery, alcoholism recovery, is fraught with relapse. And there's a reason for that. And, you know, the information in this book, we're going to take weeks and weeks and weeks to get through all of this information. But they had it right. The amazing thing is they had it nailed. No matter who you are, if you're a legitimate treatment provider, if you're someone who has experience in recovery, you are going to know that the concepts that they assembled back in the late 30s are still valid today, and they are what needs to be experienced for permanent, long-lasting recovery from alcoholism or any addictive illness.
Yeah.
Really, it's more of a spiritual problem than it is a substance problem, and they knew that back then, and they knew what you needed to do to get your spirit right so that you could remain in recovery. See, you know, quitting drinking is not really the answer to alcoholism. Quitting drugs is not really the answer to drug addiction. There's a deeper underlying problem within the person's spirit that needs to be addressed. And there has, you know, to the best of my knowledge, there has not been a text written on substance abuse recovery that equals this text in validity. And in basically a pathway to experience recovery yourself.
Mm-hmm. I would definitely concur with that. And you know, this is one reason why I appreciate the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous so much, and the literature, is because we're looking at this from the point of view of alcoholism and so forth being merely the symptom, whereas some other programs that are out there look at the alcohol or the narcotics or the food or whatever as the actual problem. And I think I had to break free of that and change my thinking in that area, along with other areas of my life as well.
You know, when you're looking at it, let's stick with alcoholism for a minute, because that's really what this book is about.
Right.
However, this is valid for almost any form of addiction or even obsessive compulsive disorder. But when you're looking at alcoholism, it's an unorthodox illness. It affects you physically. It affects you mentally. It affects you certainly spiritually. And the recovery process for alcoholism is a very unorthodox recovery process.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you have an illness, when you have a disease or an illness, you know, you'll go to the doctor, and whether it be chemo or antibiotics, I mean, there's usually a well laid out plan that doctors can offer you for recovery, whether it's inpatient, outpatient, you know, take medication, do therapy. When you look at alcoholism, it's a chronic illness. It's going to be with you the rest of your life, and you need to remain focused on the tools that they give you, especially in this book. You need to remain focused on the fact that you have alcoholism, and there's a certain way you need to live that will be conducive to recovery. That's really unorthodox. I mean, you know, you're not gonna find that in other illnesses. So there's a lot of misunderstandings and a lot of misunderstandings about alcoholism. Many people misunderstand it. People that treat you for it sometimes have great misunderstanding about the recovery process. They really think that all you need to do is watch out for your triggers, or, you know, all you need to do is go to outpatient therapy for a year. You know, that is really misunderstanding the nature of the illness and what needs to be the participation needs to be engaged in to remain in a recovered state.
Yeah. Boy, isn't that the truth? We've got to go beyond. We've just got to go beyond the substance. Otherwise, we're just spinning our wheels. Because I did that. I did that. I quit drinking. You know, and it never did last because I never dealt with anything else.
You know, let's call it the real alcoholic, that, because that's what they call it in this book.
That's right.
The real alcoholic, as opposed to, you know, someone who has a drinking problem, someone who's dependent on alcohol, which is the real alcoholic. You know, when you stop drinking, that's when a lot of the spiritual and emotional and mental problems start. So it's not a matter of separating from the alcohol. That's the very beginning, and that's necessary. But mere separation from alcohol, what will happen to the real alcoholic is one of three things. They'll commit suicide, they'll go insane and be locked up, or they'll drink again if they don't engage in a recovery process.
Mm-hmm.
And there are exceptions to that rule. There are exceptions to people who just don't drink. And, you know, with an amazing amount of willpower, just decide not to drink. But when you look at the quality of their life, the quality of their emotional, mental, and spiritual life, you see that they really are dying an alcoholic death because there's no quality to their life. They're at best very cranky, at worst tyrannical in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
So understanding what's in this book is of the highest importance. You know, when you look at treatment in America today, it started with the Minnesota 12-step abstinence-based model. And what it really was what treatment really was in the beginning was it was a bunch of people in AA who got together and said, you know, we really need an acute care facility for some of these AAs. We need to lock them up, and we need to pound down these concepts of recovery. We need to just inundate them with these concepts of recovery because they're not to be trusted. They're not capable of understanding this getting involved in the fellowship. So all of a sudden these treatment methodologies started. Now we've learned a whole lot over the years. However, legitimate recovery treatment centers have to apply the 12-step model or else they are really doing a disservice to whoever their clients are. I am not saying that the 12-step is the only way, but what I am saying is it's been the most successful way for the most amount of people. So to overlook it is pretty irresponsible for a treatment provider, because you cannot ignore the success of the 12-step model. So it's legitimized in the medical community. It's been legitimized with the religious community. It is because of the success. You just can't turn your head at 4 million sober alcoholics in North America due to the 12-step fellowships.
Right.
So right. Anyway, enough of all that. How about if we move into the forward to the second edition?
Let's do it.
Okay. This is from a fourth edition, and this starts on Roman numeral 15 in the fourth edition. Forward to the second edition. Figures given in this forward describe the fellowship as it was in 1955. It had been about 16 years since the first printing of the first edition. It was time for another printing. They were really moving into selling a lot of these books, and they needed to update some things. They needed to update the stories. They needed to change the forward, and they had to do some things. So since the original forward to this book was written in 1939, a wholesale miracle has taken place. Our earliest printing voiced the hope that every alcoholic who journeys will find the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous at his destination. Already, continues the early text, twos and threes and fives of us have sprung up in other communities. 16 years have elapsed between our first printing of this book and the presentation in 1955 of our second edition. In that brief space, Alcoholics Anonymous has mushroomed into nearly 6,000 groups whose membership is far above 150,000 recovered alcoholics. Groups are to be found in each of the United States and all of the provinces of Canada. AA has flourishing communities in the British Isles, Scandinavian countries, South Africa, South America, Mexico, Alaska, Australia, and Hawaii. All told, promising beginnings have been made in some 50 foreign countries and U.S. possessions. Some are just now taking shape in Asia. Many of our friends encourage us by saying that this is but a beginning, only the augury of a much larger future ahead. They had great growth, especially after a number of press articles came out. You know, there was a number, the Jack Alexander article. Mm-hmm. There was a number of articles in major publications that said alcoholics, you know, there's now a hope for alcoholism. And in those periods of time, Monty, what would traditionally happen is you would have a group somewhere with maybe five members. The Saturday Evening Post article would come out, and all of a sudden you'd go from five to 250 members in the course of a couple of weeks. And back in that period of time, they very, very quickly had to hone their 12-step skills. How do you offer a recovery program to so many people coming in so quickly? And I think overall, I'm sure they made a lot of mistakes, but I think overall they did a pretty good job. I mean, they treated it as triage, and they took their 12-step work back in those days extremely seriously. Unfortunately, today, you know, I've heard many people say that there are phone lines, there are 12-step phone lines where Alcoholics Anonymous or Intergroup or any of those functions will get a phone call with somebody asking for help, and they'll have a really hard time tracking somebody down who's willing to go on that 12-step call. That has really changed over the years. In the early days of Alcoholics Anonymous, so many people were available for one